Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Nun Tes. You will see Rava's name in the middle of the line, and before we actually learn the Gemara, let us take a look at the topic heading that accompanies this piece of Gemara. In our Shas Ozer, we should point out, the Shas Ozer is the Shas, the Gemara that appears on your screen. It is also the cornerstone of Gemara markings. We provide topic headings and structural notes from time to time when needed. The topic heading referred to by the term Nosei, and structural notes referred to by the term Mivneh. So in this case, under our Nosei heading, you see we have written Shitas Rava. Rava's opinion, Asiri Kadosh Me'elov. That's a quote of what Rava says. What does that mean? Vahainu, Shemona Tisha. This means he counted 9 animals. 9 animals emerged through the narrow passage that we described on Daf Nun Ches. Vinishtayer Asiri Badir, and the 10th animal remained in the barn. Afopi Shelo Yotza Velomono, even though it didn't emerge through the narrow passageway, and he did not count it as 10, Kadosh Me'elov, it will become holy and thereby gain the status of a Miser Behemoth. In other words, even though we have placed a great deal of emphasis on the counting and designation of animals, Rava says that, well, if you did the counting for 9 animals, the 10th animal that happens to remain behind will become sanctified. Now, the Gemara. Amar Rava, Asiri Kadosh Me'elov. The 10th becomes sanctified on its own. The Rashi explains what we already said, and if you look at the Rashi at the beginning of the narrow lines, Kadosh Me'elov, Shimono Tisha, Vinishtair Asir Badir, if he had counted 9 and the 10th one remained in the barn, Afopi Shelo Yotza Velomono, even though it didn't emerge and he didn't count it, Kadosh Me'elov. So now the Gemara asks, Mino Le Larava Ha. From where does Rava know this? Before going on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form as far as this sugya is concerned, and it needs explanation. You see a triangle that appears, and if you skim down the page, you'll see quite a few more of these. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we explain the triangle that you see featured. Shlavim, these are stages. La'anos la'shela mino lei l'ravaha, stages in answering this question. From where does Rava know this idea of Asiri Kadosh Me'elov? If you are to think it's from the following, this is a Tanaic source from which one might think that Rava gets his idea. It says, Ein li elo shekoro shmo asiri. I would think that a Maiser Behema is only that which is declared as number 10. Lo koro shmo asiri minayin. From where do you know that even if he didn't declare an animal as number 10, that it becomes kadosh, becomes sanctified as a Maiser Behema? Talmud Lomar, yeh kodesh. Mikomakom. The Pasuk says, yeh kodesh, which means under all circumstances. So maybe this is Rava's proof. The Gemara rejects it. Vidilma, it could be that as far as this source is concerned, Asiri hu delo karya, he didn't call it 10. Kodesh karya, but he called it Kodesh. We look at the Rashi. Rashi has 2 explanations for this point. What we will look at is the second one of the Rashi explanations. And you see that we've marked Rashi off with diamonds. You see a number 2, or a second diamond in the Rashi. This is under his Loshon Acher. Dilmo Asiri lo karya shelo koroshmo Asiri ela kodesh koroshmo ulachi havi meiser. He did declare it kodesh, and that's why it becomes a meiser behemo. Avohechad lo koro klal. But if he didn't make any reference, in other words, Rava's case where it simply stayed behind in the barn, and he didn't make any, he didn't refer to it, didn't count it at all. Lo lehevei kodosh kishar meiser. Maybe it wouldn't become sanctified. So from this source, all we see is that something can become a meiser without his formal mention of it being the tenth animal. But some declaration is needed. Elo meha. So we go on to a second possible source, well, a second possibility of what might be the source for Rava. The Sanya, Korolachi Asiri, the ninth animal to emerge, he called ten. V'yotso ha'asiri v'lo diber. And then the actual tenth animal emerged, and he remained silent. Ho'asiri ha'chi'i ne'chal b'mumo. The ninth animal, which he declared ten. The rule regarding that mistake, we'll say, is that that animal, formally the ninth animal, it shall be left aside till it develops a blemish, and only then can you eat it. Vasiri meiser, the tenth animal, is meiser behema. Now, doesn't this remind you or look like what Rava said? And here we have a Tanaic source to bolster or serve as a source for Rava. What happened here? It says the tenth emerged and he remained silent. That sounds like that which Rava was talking about. The Gemara says, no, this is different. V'dilmo shiny hosam. This case is different. The Ivrar le Asiri. Well, you see, Ivrar is a lotion of Barur, clarity. There, it was clear that this was the tenth animal because it came out through the narrow passageway. He just remained silent about it, but it came forth, it emerged as a tenth animal. That's different than Rova's case, where it remained behind in the barn. There wasn't some type of event that established clarity that it's number 10. The Gemara goes on, Inami da'achvi iluya. The Brisa that said he remained silent, however, as it emerged, he pointed it out with his finger. He said he made some type of finger motion that it's number 10, even though he didn't speak. But where it remained behind in the barn and he didn't say anything, I don't learn from that. I don't learn from this case that that would also be Kodesh. That would be holy and sanctified as a Meiser Behema. So this source doesn't work for Rava either. Elo meha, number 3, meha de Sanya, from the following source. Korolachi Asiri, he declared the ninth animal to emerge as 10. Umeis Asiri Badir, and the actual tenth animal died while still in the barn. Chi Nechal Bemumo, the ninth animal is treated with a degree of holiness insofar as that you can't eat it until it develops a blemish. The kulam pturin, and all those that emerged are exempt. My time of kulam pturim. Well, why? What caused their exemption? Lav mishum de kodesh le asiri. Isn't it because the tenth animal that was alive when they had emerged and died afterwards? Well, it became kodesh. It became the meiser behema. It became the actual meiser behema on its own while it was still in the barn. Well, that's just like Rava. The Gemara rejects this too. The Dilma, the Ifteru Baminyan Haroi. Maybe their exemption, the first nine animals to emerge, are exempt because of something called Minyan Haroi. Minyan is the counting that was fit. In other words, as they emerged, there was an anticipated tenth animal that would emerge. It was anticipated so that the animals counting the 1, 2, 3 through 9, that was a minyan, that was roy, that it was fit to have a 10th animal emerging afterwards. So since it was fit, it was expected that the 10th one was going to emerge, that is enough to exempt the animals that already came out. However, as far as the 10th animal itself gaining sanctity? No, that would not take place if it doesn't actually emerge. So that we don't see a basis for Rava's teaching here of Asiri Kadosh Me'ela from the fact that the first 9 to have emerged are exempt. And the Gemara goes on to say, Deha'amar Rava, Rava himself has already taught Minyan Haroi Poter, that animals that exited the narrow passageway with an anticipated 10th emerging after them, that causes their exemption. However, as we said before, the 10th animal itself does not gain sanctity until it would actually emerge. Elo meha desanya. So what's the basis of Rava's teaching? Maybe from the following source. And this will be an effective source for Rava. It says, Korolachi Asiri, he declared a 9th animal that emerged as 10, Vinishtayer Asiri Bedir, and the 10th one remained in the barn, Hachi Nechabamumo, Vasiri Meiser. Here you can see with our markings, we've dashed underlined Nishtayer Asiri Bedir and Vasiri Meiser. So we see that its remaining in the barn doesn't contradict the possibility of it actually becoming the Meiser Behemoth. So we see from here that even though it did not emerge from the barn through the narrow passageway, it becomes sanctified. That's what Rava said. Before we go further in our Gemara, we have a marking that we just saw, this diamond with a little colored in tip. This is featured under our Mivneh heading, the outside margin. The word Chi'i is highlighted. Simun, this marking Mu'ad, is designed Lahavlit to accentuate Hahevdel Bein HaMakoros, the difference between two sources. So as we go on in the Gemara, we should, in order to make things clear, we have established a source for Rava. You notice we have a little semicolon here. And that's in order that you shouldn't read when it says Vehotanya as some kind of question on Rava. We're not focusing a question right now on Rava, but rather we're posing a problem regarding two Tanaic sources, the one that we've seen already, and now that which we're about to see. It says Vehotanya Chi'i Chulin. Up till now, as far as Rava is concerned, the focus was on the 10th animal. The question we're going to raise now is regarding the 9th animal, not a topic that Rava himself addressed. And in order to just to accentuate what we're trying to accomplish with our marking system, we often point out that Rashi himself is sensitive to structure, and he incorporates that in his commentary. And you can see that over here, second line from the bottom of the Rashi commentary, namely opposite the last line of the Gemara text. You see Rashi says, second line from the end there, Vahashto Porach. And now the Gemara asks, Ahach Braiso de Katoni Achi Nechabamumo Vahotanya. The questioner is focused on that which was taught in the Braisa, that the 9th animal is to be left aside until it develops a blemish and only then eat it. This is challenged through another source which says that the 9th is Hulin. That's what the Gemara asks now, Vahotanya Chi Hulin. The 9th animal, this is the 9th animal that emerged, and he called it 10. Well, it seems from here that it's mundane, it's common, it's chulin. And as such, you wouldn't have to wait till it develops a mum. Toni Tano Kamei de Rav Sheshes. So someone had explained in the presence of Rav Sheshes, Toni Tano is an expression that generally refers to someone who said over Tanaic sources, someone who had knowledge of Tanaic sources. So someone like that had said over to Rav Sheshes in his presence, it said, Ha money, this source that says that the 9th is Chulin, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda he. This is in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who holds that if the 10th animal's status as 10 is not uprooted from it. That's called Neka Shema Siri Mino Asiri. If that 10th status or label is not uprooted from it, as we will see shortly, what does it mean to uproot a name or a status? That we'll see shortly. If that doesn't happen, then the chi is chulin. In other words, this idea about a ninth animal gaining any type of sanctity, that can be accomplished only if some type of tampering was done with the status of the 10th animal. However, if the status of the 10th animal wasn't addressed or wasn't tampered with, so the 9th will remain chulin. Desanyo. We continue presenting this opinion in a Tanaic source. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rebbe Shimon. Af hachi'i einoi kodosh. The 9th animal is not kodosh, is and will remain chulin. Elohim kein nekar shem asiri heimenu. Unless the status of 10 was uprooted from it. That would be a case where he didn't call the 10th 10. This source, by the way, is a little bit vague, and it seems that we're being thrown into the middle of a discussion where he says, Af hachi, so to the 9th. Rashi helps to lead us into this discussion, and we can glance at the Rashi at the top of the page. Rashi says, Af hachi, the chihechi, just like the 11th animal, if he were to call the 11th animal mistakenly, he would say 10. It would not become holy, unless the label of 10 was uprooted from the 10th, which means shelo kara l'asiri asiri elochi. That would happen only, in other words, 11 would gain sanctity only if the 10th was designated 9, mistakenly. We called it 9. As will be referred to later in the Mishnah. So, we go back to our Tanaic source, just like it's taught in the Mishnah that 11 does not become holy unless 10 was uprooted from it. So too, 9 doesn't gain any holy status. And when we say holy status, it means this idea of eating it only when it gets a blemish. That won't take place unless the Shem Asiri is uprooted from Asiri. V'hadin noisein. And logic would lead us in this direction. And let me say a word about structure. We're continuing presenting in the first part of this source Reb Shimon ben Yehuda's analysis. Later in the source, you'll see a squiggle underlined expression, hi hanoisenis, where we've written in there dechia. At that point, the Brisa rejects this particular reasoning. So, as far as our markings are concerned, we started on the bottom of Nun Tesom and Aleph, a point, a Nun. And that's the beginning of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's presentation. And at the point in the source where you see the expression, Hi Hanosenes, you see there, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a Dalet, which is a Bechia. And that culminates at a point in the Gemara where you see Su Lo Midi, meaning that this rejection is a solid type rejection and there's no further discussion on it. But in the meantime, let us see Reb Shimon ben Yehuda's logic. He just got finished saying that just like we say that 11th doesn't gain sanctity when called, when labeled 10, unless the actual 10th had its name or status uprooted by referring it as 9, so to the 9th animal doesn't gain any special status unless the 10th animal has its name uprooted the same way. And now he says that this is logical. This comparison is logical. And we go on in the Gemara. Uma achadosor shu oise kedusha likrav eino kadosh elim keinek Hashem asiri heimenu. When we say the 11th animal, if called by the term 10, mistakenly, if it's called 10, it becomes holy. And you know how holy? It becomes holy enough to be offered as a sacrifice. It becomes a korban shlomim. We call that kedusha chamura, a serious level of sanctity. And yet, you have this thing, this 11, number 11, which can gain a serious level of sanctity. And it won't gain that unless the shem asiri is uprooted from the 10th animal. Chi'i she'ein oise kedusha likrov. The 9th, when it becomes sanctified, it becomes sanctified, but not enough. It's a lighter level of sanctity. Not enough to be offered as an actual sacrifice. So the chi, which is a lighter level of sanctity, eino din, she'im nekar shem asiri heimenu in, iloi loi. That only if the 10th has its status uprooted by calling it 9, only then would the 9th gain its sanctity. And if not, not. So just to go over this last point, mind you, when you're dealing with an important area of Kedusha, like the 11th, it doesn't gain its important status unless there's an uprooting of the name. Something of lesser significance certainly won't gain whatever light level of holiness it is to gain unless the 10th is uprooted. Upon hearing this, the other Tanoim reject the logic and say, "He hanosenes." He says, your logic actually begs the point. Achadosar shehu oise kedusha likrav. When you're dealing with something of great significance, it's become so holy that it's actually offered as a sacrifice, and you say that happens if the 10th is uprooted. I nekar shem asiri menu in iloi loi. In order to gain this significant level of holiness that is characteristic of an 11th that's misnamed, that happens only if you uproot the status of the 10th. Chi sheino oisek dusha likrav. With regard to the chi, which is not such a significant level of sanctity, so it could be afal gav de lo nekar shem asiri himeno. Even without the uprooting of the 10th, the 9th will gain this low level sanctity. Inami, another difference, another way to see, to contrast 11 versus 9. Inami achadosar de ivrar le asiri. In the case of the 11th animal gaining its status, when does that happen? That happens only after a 10th animal emerged. That's the Ivra, became clear which was 10. Then we say, since you have something that emerged clearly as a 10th animal, even though it was misnamed, but it emerged, you saw a 10th animal emerge, then we say, Inek Hashem Asiri Menu In Iloi Loi. Only if its status is uprooted will there be any room for Kedusha to settle upon the 11. Because you're dealing with a real competitor. You're dealing with an actual 10th. However, Dakati Lo Ivra Le Asiri, the 9th animal and its possible sanctity by being misnamed, that takes place when there wasn't a real competitor. The tenth animal never emerged. We're only holding by the ninth animal at this point. It could very well be, then I don't have to uproot the number 10 status from the tenth animal. But once again, the ninth animal is actually in an easier position for gaining sanctity because it's not running up against an actual clear competitor. It hasn't emerged at all yet. And as a result of that, even without the Akiras Shem Asiri, the ninth can gain a level of holiness, which would, as we said before, is Nechal B'mumoy. And this is a very strong, logic. And therefore, su lo midi. There's nothing more to say on this particular topic. However, we, as far as the general scheme of things, we entered this whole discussion because we had a source that said that the ninth animal, and this is referring to the source at the bottom of Nun Tesamet Aleph, when reference was made to the to a ninth animal as being ten, and the tenth animal remained in the barn, we saw a source that said that that ninth animal, even though it was called ten, is hulin. It doesn't gain any significance by having been referred to as ten. Namely, the ninth is hulin, even though it was called ten. Why is it that it remains hulin? So the answer to that is because this source is taught in accordance with Shimon Yehuda, that says that ninth doesn't gain any significance unless ne'ekar shem asiri from the tenth. And if that didn't happen, if there wasn't any akiras shem asiri from the tenth, the ninth would remain hulin. That's his opinion. As far as the logic he uses to get to that opinion, that came under fire. But as far as identifying the source is concerned, that is Rav Shimon ben Yehuda's opinion. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a Mivneh heading that introduces this upcoming section. You can see there are a number of diamonds that appear starting here, and you look down the page, you'll see a number of them. They're around Rava's name. And under our Mivneh heading, we've written Sidra Shel Meimros Shel Rava Be'inyin Meiser Behema, series of comments of Rava in the realm of Meiser Behema. The Gemara. Omar Rava, Minyan Haroi Poter. This we introduced earlier, and we can review the point again. If you have animals that are emerging in anticipation of a tenth animal, each one of those animals that emerges before the tenth is now exempt from any further need for tithing. And that this halacha goes so far as to say that even if a tenth animal doesn't actually emerge, they, however, are exempt because they emerged from the narrow passageway in anticipation of the number 10 arriving. The Rashi in the Ksav Yad commentary, which you find in the outside margin, Minyan Haroi, Im Hoyu Asorot Tloim Bedir, if he had 10 animals in the barn, Vihischil Umono Chi, Tesha, he counted up till 9, Umeis Asir Bedir, and the 10th animal died after he counted these 9 while still in the barn. In other words, the 10th died while it had not yet emerged. Or it decided to exit through another passageway. Those 9 that emerged in anticipation of the 10th are exempt, and they don't have to wait around or keep them around till another goren. Hoyol minyan roi, hoyol lahashlim b'shas minyan. Since the proper or expected number was anticipated and fit to be completed when they were being counted. We now continue in the Gemara. Minah le Rava ha. From where does Rava know this point? as you can see, we have a new marking, this double underline, which appears as one of our series markings. On the outside margin, we feature the double underline, and under a Nosei Mivneh heading, these are Shlavim. Each double underline represents a stage. Levarer minol le l'rova d'minyan haroi poter. From where does Rava know this idea? That animals that emerge in anticipation of a tenth one emerging after them is sufficient to create exemption. So from where does he know this? E lemo meho disnan. If you think that Rava learns his din from the following, kofatz echod min hamnuyin letoichon. We learned this before, that if one of the animals that had already been counted jumps back into the barn joins the other as yet untithed animals, kulan pturin. All of the animals in the barn become exempt from Meiser Behemo. Minuyin Gufayo de Ifteru Bimai. Those that had been counted, what gave them their exempt status? Lav Biminyan Haroi. Isn't it because when they emerged in anticipation of a tenth animal coming out? So that those that emerged become exempt through this mechanism called Minyan Haroi, and hence when they get mixed up with other as yet untithed animals, all of them are Besofek Turin. The Gemara says no, Vidilma di Iser Olayu. The reason that the Minuyan are exempt isn't because of an anticipated number, it's because they were actually tithed, because a tenth animal actually emerged. The Gemara says, no, hahu lo motzis amris, you can't say that. Ha toni, another mocker says, min hameusorin lesochan. There's another source that says if one of the tithed animals jumps back into the deer. So that section or that source talks about tithed animals. So that the previous source of Minuyin are anticipated in being tithed, but not actual. Nevertheless, the Dilma, the source that was cited previously at the where we double underlined the Ilema, still it's not sufficient. My Mi'usorin, this source that we just said Mi'usorin is Meiser Davka. Maybe this most recent quote is a reference to the actual number 10. That's Meiser Davka, the actual 10th animal, is that which jumped back in. And if that be the case of Minuyin before might in fact, yes, be the case of tithed animals. So as far as these last two sources are concerned, neither one is referring to Minyan Haroi. The Minuyan source is a reference to animals that were counted but were actually tithed, and the Mu'usaran source that we just saw quoted is a reference to the actual tenth animal that jumped back into the barn. Daiko Nami Dikotoni Yiru. How do I know that in the case of when it says Minha Mu'usaran, that it's a reference to the actual Meiser Behemo animal? That's because in that very source it says that if one of the Musaran jumped back in, then all of them must be left around until they must be left to graze until they develop a mum, because of a chashash of any one of them being an actual Meiser Behemo, which is a korban. And the way you deal with a suffix about a korban is that you wait till it gets a mum. All of this we saw in the Mishnah. These are quotes, of course, from the Mishnah from Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis. So we don't have a source at this point for Rova concerning Minyan Haroi Poter. Elo, the next double underline, the next stage in finding a source, Elo Omar Rova, Omar Kro. The pasuk says Ya'avor. What is chayav in being tithed? That which needs to pass through or under the counting rod. Velo shikvar ovar, not that which was already counted. My lo shikvar ovar. What is this coming to exclude? E the iser alayu, if it's coming to exempt animals that were already tithed, tzrichalam heimar, do I have to tell you about that? That's obvious that they're exempt. Elo lav the ifteruluhu b'minyan horoi. This Shekvar Ovar is a reference to those animals that already passed under the counting rod in anticipation of being tithed, but not actually tithed. So the mere fact that they emerged with this expectation of being tithed, that's enough to cause exemption. Shma Mino. So this is conclusive. The basis of Rava's din is from this pasuk. Tanya Kavose de Ravan. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rava's halacha of Minyan Haroi Poter. Hoyu lo asora tloim. He had 10 lambs. The Hichnison Ladir, and he put them in a barn. Umono Chamisha, and he counted 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Umes Echod Mehen. And one of them died. Now, there's a pronoun here that's a little bit vague. It says, and one of them died. So the source goes on and says, Im min haminuyin mace, if one of the animals already counted died, mone umashim aleim, well then keep counting. He has a total of 10 animals, so keep counting. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ve'im misha'enon menuyin mace, if those that were still in the barn died. So what happened? 5 emerged. After they emerged, there were 5 left in the barn, and one of them died. Menuyin pturim, those that emerged already are exempt. Ve'she'enon menuyin, the other 4 that haven't been counted, mitstarfin legoren acher. So they, the 4 that remained, will join up with future births that will be tithed at the next Goren date. The Omar Rava, another halacha of Rava. But in the meantime, before we go on, let's just emphasize that the dashed underline, Minuyin Purin, that we just learned, is the source of support in this brisa for Rava's halacha. Minuyim, the counted ones. And as we just learned in this source, they were counted in anticipation of a tenth animal emerging, even though in actuality it never did emerge, because it died before it ever came out. However, the 5 that already emerged, they emerged when the balance of the 5 were still alive. Hence, they emerged in anticipation of a tenth emerging. Omar Rova, Hoyu lo arboisre tloim. He had 14 sheep. Vichnison ladir. And he put them in a barn. And we will see a few cases that follow from this heading of the 14 in a barn. The triangles that you see that follow are used to highlight the different possibilities, the different cases that arise in a situation of using this number, 14 animals in a barn. We will see what happens. Before we go on, though, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. You see the triangles featured, and we've written Sidra Shel Dugmaois, a series of cases, of examples, Hakshuros Leminyan Haroi Poter, that are associated with this general topic of Minyan Haroi exempts, Shebohem Royim. In the examples that we will see, we will witness Kvutzos Ktanos, Pochos Meeser, small groups of animals, less than asora, less than 10 in each group, little subgroups of animals, shel behemos, she yoitzais mishnei psochim. These small groups of animals will be exiting from 2 different passageways, exiting from this barn. Bizman shinisharu od behemos bifnim, as these small subgroups of animals are emerging through the 2 different passageways, there is a balance of animals that remains behind. As far as how many are concerned, well, we're starting with a grand total of 14. And what are the different cases? Let's go on now in the Gemara. So we have 14 in the barn. V'yotzu shisha b'pesach zeh, v'arba b'pesach zeh. Before we go any further, we should also note that order of events is critical in appreciating these cases. So that, and the order of events is as is reported in the order of the Gemara. So we have 14 animals. 6 emerged from one passageway. V'arba b'pesach zeh, and 4 emerged from a different passageway, exiting from this very same barn. The arba nishtairu sham, and 4 remained in the barn. Let's think about these cases. When the first 6 emerged, how many animals were in the barn at that time? Or otherwise, how many animals could have continued to emerge from that same point, enabling the 6 to actually lead up to 10? Well, at the point that the 6 emerged, there was a balance of 8 animals still in the barn. And they could have emerged from that particular passageway that the 6 came out of. That's one point. Fine. Let's get those 6 there outside now. The next group is about to emerge. 4 more, as was reported in the Gemara. And they emerged from a second passageway. When they emerged, after the 4 that emerged from the second passageway, when they came out, how many were left behind? Only 4 more. So now, let us look at the Gemara. Im oisam arbo, b'pesach shiyotsu bo hashisha yotsu, notel echod mehem, v'sha'ar mitzdarfin legorin achir. If those 4 that remained, the last group, if you will, eventually emerge through the same passageway that the original 6 emerged, so that you have the original 6 plus this last group of 4, total of 10. You'll then take the 10th one, and it will be Meiser Behema. And the 4 that emerged, the second group of animals, the first group of 4, which was the second group to emerge after the 6, but they came out a separate doorway, they are mitzaref to a goren, to another goren, to another tithing period. Now the reason for that is that those 4 that emerged from the second passageway, when they came out, they left behind only 4 animals. When they came out, there was no minyan haroi to exempt them. They emerged from a separate passageway without an expectation of a number 10 being reached, because they left behind 4 more animals. Maximum 8 would have emerged regarding that group. So our Gemara says so far that if the remaining group of 4 emerged through the same passageway that the original 6 emerged, they become a Meiser Behema unit, and the 10th one is separated. And the other 4 that emerged through the second passageway, they are mitzdarif to another Goren. V'im lav. And if the last group that was dashed underlined in our markings, if they did not go through the gate of the 6, but rather they either remained behind or they went through the gate that the 4 had come out through, then shisha pturin, the first 6 are exempt. They're exempt under all circumstances because they, when they emerged, they left behind enough animals to equal 10 with regard to that group of 6. They're exempt through minyan haroi. The arbo mitzdarfin legoren acher. And the last 2 groups of 4 will be left aside and join with other subsequent births to be tithed at the next goren date. Yotsu, we're continuing now with the original case of 14 animals in a barn. However, the order of events changes. Yotsu arbo bepesach zeh v'shisha bepesach zeh. Four exited one through one passageway, and six through another passageway. Once again, we look at the case of the first four to emerge in this, under this heading, this triangle. When they came out, how many animals were left behind in the barn? Well, four emerged, leaving 10 behind in the barn. That's certainly enough to join up with the four to get you to a number 10. So the first four that emerged leaving behind a minyan haroi. The six to emerge, they emerged through a separate passageway. When they emerged, how many were left behind? It says here, four were left behind. That those four could join up with those six, and the six also becomes a minyan haroi. So our Gemara continues, Im oisam arbo, bepesach shiyotzu bo hashisha yotzu, if the last group that happened to be four that remained behind eventually emerge through the same passageway that the six had exited, noitel mehem echod vashar pturin. He'll then take one of them, the tenth one, with the last one of them to emerge, as meiser behema, and the rest are exempt. The im lav, if those last four don't emerge through the six passageway, then arbo v'shisha pturin, that means the first four and the six are exempt. They are both exempt through minyan haroi. The arbo, the four that remain behind, mitstarfin logoran acher, they will join up with subsequent births to be tithed at the next goren date. Yotsu arbo bepesach zeh, varbo bepesach zeh, v'nishtayru sham shisha. So in this case, the two groups of four exited their own separate passageways, leaving six behind. Now those six behind would complete 10 either way, either if they go through the first passageway or the second passageway. Im oisam shisha yotsu bepesach echod, noto mehem echod v'shar pturim. If the six choose to go out one of those doorways, so the tenth one, the last of that group of six, will be taken as meiser behema, and the rest are exempt. The im lav, if those six either remain in the barn or exit a third passageway, then arbo arbo pturim. The first two groups of four to have emerged are exempt. As we explained, they're exempt because they had minyan haroi on their behalf. The shisha, the six that emerged through a third passageway or didn't emerge at all, mitstarfin lugoren acher. The Gemara now asks, my komash malon, what is Rava trying to tell us? Dominion haroi poter. Is he trying through these examples to show me that minyan haroi is a means of exemption? But Rava has already taught this on a previous occasion. So what do I need these cases to communicate the point of minyan haroi poter? The Gemara answers, Mahu detemo. If I had only the original statement of Rava that minyan haroi poter, I would have thought, Vadai minyan haroi amrinon. Sofek minyan haroi. Dechazi lohacho lo amrinon. I would have thought that only where you have a definite minyan haroi, and think of a simple case where, let's say you had only one exit from the barn, and there were a total of 10 animals or more, and several animals exited. Let's say if you use a number 10, four animals emerged from a singular passageway, six animals remain behind. Even if one of those six eventually dies, that you'll never get to number 10, when the four emerge, in our example, they emerge in anticipating a definite 10th, because there was no other exit. However, In the most recent case, for example, we are dealing a suffix minyan haroi. What do we mean a suffix minyan haroi? In our last case, we had four exiting from one passageway and four exiting from another passageway. With regard to either group of those four, was it known regarding any four which four would eventually be joined with the six? No, it wasn't known, because the six that remained behind could have come out through door number one or possibly through door number two. Is that I would not have known that that's enough of a minyan haroi, enough presence of minyan haroi to create exemption. Komash Malon, through these additional cases that we were just taught, we're taught that even suffik minyan haroi creates exemption. The Omar Rava, Hoyu lo chamisha sortloyim. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, in the outside margin, where we've written, Odom shiesh lo chamisha sor tloim, a person has 15 lambs. Eino yochol livor asor lachnisim ledir, he can't choose of the 15, 10 of them, and take the 10 and put them in a barn. V'yitol echod mehem lemaiser, and then take one of them as the maiser behemo. The Yoimar, and then declare Shashar Pturin Lagamri. And then the other five that were not put in the barn are totally exempt. Elo Mitstarfin Lagorin Acher. Rather, they will join up. He brings all 15 into the barn. And the balance will remain for the till the next tithing period. The Gemara, the Omar Rava, Hoyu lo chamisha sor tloyim, lo yomar, he shouldn't say, Evror asara vachnisam ledir, I'm going to choose 10, put the 10 in the barn, ve'etol mehem echod, and then take of them, the one of them, the 10th one, vashar pturin, and the rest that I didn't bring into the barn, well, they're exempt, they were never brought into the barn in the first place. And five is not enough of a number to be chayav in Meiser Behema. Anyway, he shouldn't do that. Ella, what does he do? Koinson Ladir, he puts all of them in the barn. Umotzi Asora, 10 will exit the passageway. Venotel Mehem Echod, he'll take one of them as Meiser Behema. Vashar Mitzarfen Ligoran Acher, and the rest will join up to with the next tithing period. Join up with new births that take place afterwards and be tithed at the next Goren. There's a Rashi that's found at the bottom of the Rashi Ksav Yad, Vashar Pturin. This is what we say he should not do. Choose 10, bring them in the barn, and then declare the balance of the 5 as totally exempt. And why would you think it would be exempt? Lo hoya tziruf, v'lo kovoson zman hagoren. They don't join, and there's no. They don't. The zman hagoren, the next goren tithing period doesn't lock these in. Anyway, all that we don't say. Elo koinson kulon ledir. The Rashi goes on, v'koyveya zman hagoren akulon, and the goren date establishes an obligation regarding all of the animals. Delo yadis he minayu lafuki. We don't know which ones are going to come out. Umoyne asora, he counts 10 of those 15. Venotel echod, and the 10th one will be chosen as the maiser behemo. Vashar mitzarfen legoren achir, and the balance of them will be left till the next tithing period and join up with future births. The Gemara continues. Tanya Nami Hochi, Hoyu Lo Chamisha Sotloim. We have a braisa supporting what we just saw, supporting Rova's Din. If he had 15 lambs, Lo Yoimar, he should not say, Evror Asora V'etol mehem echod v'shar p'turim. I'll choose 10 and choose and one of them will be my meiser behemo, and the rest shall be exempt. Ela koinson ladir, he brings them all into the barn. Umotzi asara, 10 are will exit the passageway. V'notel mehen echod v'shar mitzdar from the goren acher. Now you can see we've dashed underlined this expression v'shar mitzdar from the goren acher, because this is the main point of support for Rava's din. Before going on in the Gemara, I would like to glance at the Rashi, but you'll find opposite the you'll find it on the second narrow line of the Rashi, talking about Rashi at the upper part of the page. Rashi says Elohochi Pirusho Lo Yomar, and Rashi is going on the source that we just saw and which was brought to support Rava's din. A person should not say that I'll choose only 10 of the 15. Vashar Levup Turin Achshav, and the other 5 will be exempt from right now. Shelo achnisam badir imo achirim. I'm not even going to bring them into the barn with the rest. V'afalpi shigia hagoren uchal lemochron ulishochtan. And even though the next time period arrives, it doesn't affect these 5, and I'll be able to sell them and slaughter them. Hoyo v'lav v'nei surininu. D'ein hagoren kovea. This is all what one is not to say, and that these 5 are not b'nei yisuri, they're not relevant to meiser behemo, because the goren, the date doesn't fix them into needing tithing. Elodorov demhoroi lemeiser. What does the goren affect? Only something that's fit to be tithed now. V'hana chamisha la b'nei yisuri ninu. When I had my 15 animals and tithed the 10 of them, the 5 weren't fit to be tithed. Ella, okay, all of that we don't say. In other words, one should not behave that way. Ella kainsin ladir kulan biachad. Rather, he is to bring all 15 into the barn together. Umosi asor v'shar mitzdar from the goren acher al korcho. And the rest of them are bound to be bound to wait till the next tithing period. She hukba badir lemeiser. They were established and locked into the need for tithing by being brought into the barn. V'lo yuchal limkor l'shochtan, and he can't go ahead and sell them or slaughter them without tithing them. And in order to be able to tithe the balance of the 5, he'll have to wait for till there are more births by the time the new Goren time period arrives. And only then will he be able to, after tithing from them, then sell or slaughter for himself. We dashed underline in this source, Vashar Mitzdar from the Goren Achir. However, this leads up to a question. And the question is from the following Tanaic source, Tisha Asar Tloim. If a person had 19 lambs, Lo Yoimar Evro Asar Vetol Mehen Echot Vashar Pturin, he is not to say, I'll choose 10 of them, tithe from them, and the balance of 9 are exempt. In order not to do that, Elo Kainsin Ladir, he rather brings them all into the barn, Umotzi Asara V'Notel Mehen Echot, he chooses one of them after nine pass through the passageway. He then chooses the 10th. V'notel mehen echod v'shar pturin, and the rest are exempt. What do we see from this source? We see that after bringing them all into the deer, after bringing them all into the barn, and tithing 10 of them, the 9 that remain are exempt. What did the source before teach about regarding that case? That the balance of the animals are not potter, they're not exempt, rather they are to be left aside till the next tithing period, at which point they will have joined up with subsequent births. So how do we resolve these two sources? Tirgumah Rav Huna bar Schora kamei de Rava berigla. Berigla means at the holiday period or the Shabbos before the holiday when they would explain the halachas. There would be public explanation of hilchas halachas of the holiday. So Rav Huna bar Schora explained in the presence of Rava, this case of the 19 tithing of them, the 10 and the rest are exempt. That's Bedir Shieshlo Shnei Psachim Askinon. It's a barn that has two passageways. V'yotsu Tisha BePesach Zeh V'Tisha BePesach Zeh. Nine emerge from one path through one passageway, nine through another passageway. Deheich Chad, the one that remains Chazi Lahacha Ulahacha, is fit or capable, or there was the potential of it exiting either one of these two doorways. So nine having emerged from each doorway respectively had left behind, let's say even the second nine to have emerged, left behind one animal that would have enabled it, that second group of nine, to have been completed to a group of ten. So that both groups of nine are exempt, and we see an exemption based on Safek Minyan Haroi. This, by the way, is Rava's din. Rava himself taught this, and if you look back at the bottom of Nun Tesamid Beis, we saw this. We'll say, if you have that in front of you, the bottom of Nun Tesamid Beis, the line or two before the last diamond. So you're talking about the Gemara on 6-7 lines up from the bottom, where we saw Sofek Minyan Aroi, the Chazi Lahacha, the Chazi Lahacha. Without Rava, I would have thought maybe you don't apply that. Kamashlon, the Gemara there said that it does apply. So that you see, and we should just point out by way of our markings, we're adding here a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text on Nun Tesamid Beis, with the arrow indicating to look at Samach Amud Aleph, and opposite this line where you see Chazi Lahachu Lahacha, also an arrow indicating to look back to Nun Tesamid Beis, so that you see opposite both arrows you see the expressions of Lahacha and Lahacha, meaning cases where there was a balance of animals that could have walked out through either passageway, thereby exempting the two groups that already emerged. So with that explanation, we understand why this, in this last source, we said that there are the others that were not actually tithed are in fact exempt. We see a couple of triangles here. Under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we feature the triangle, and we wrote in the Lishnile. That's the expression you see in the triangle, which means, well, why doesn't he answer? Hatzos chilufios lechuvish nosen ravuna bar schora. These are alternative answers to explain the source that the problem we raised above between the two sources that you can see we've accentuated with our dashed underlinings. We have here alternative answers, but they are rejected. So the Gemara goes on, V'lishni lei, could Rav Huna bar Schor not have answered Kigoin Shemona Tisha? The case that we saw saying that the balance of Potter is where he counted 1 through 9. Again, we started with 19 animals. He counts 1 through 9, V'chimota Asora, and when he gets to number 10, he was about to get to 10, so, and the 10th animal emerged, Kori Chad Mereisha, he starts counting 1 again. So he got to 9, and then when the 10th one comes out, he labels it 1. And if you follow that scenario, when the 19th animal comes out, what will he be calling it? He'll be calling it number 10. The Rashi Ksavyad explains that this Ukimta, setting it up like this, enables us to set up that source without resorting to two passageways. You could have had 19 animals in a barn, only one passageway, and explain how there's total exemption through this model, where he counted 1, 2, 3, got up to 9, and then when the 10th animal emerged, he started all over, he called it 1. The Gemara says, you know, actually before we get to the answer, and what will we have accomplished? We set it up with one passageway, and then when the 19th animal comes out, he calls it number 10, and that 10 will serve as an exemption for everything that came out till that point. The Gemara says, no, this scenario can't be applied. Kosovar, because he is of the opinion, Asiri me'elov kadosh. After the initial 9 that he counted, the 10th animal to emerge becomes 10 on its own. It becomes 10 automatically. So that you can't come to a situation where the 19th animal will be called number 10 when after the first 9 came out, the 10th one to emerge becomes 10 on its own. What we would like to do before going on is just to glance at the Rashi in the Ksav Yad on the third line. This Ksav Yad Rashi found the lower part of the page, the third line of commentary. Kosovar me'elov kadosh, afagav dekar yachad. Even though he may have called it one, this is the 10th animal to emerge, where he started to restart his counting. It doesn't matter. Even though he called it one, it becomes kadosh. But shishachreinim lo havelu shum ptur, and the last 9 would have no means of exemption. And yet we want to arrive at an explanation that would say that they are putter, because that's what the source said, the source that we're analyzing above, where we dashed underline v'shar pturin. How would you have shar pturin if the 10th animal becomes kadosh automatically, and the balance of the 9 don't have anything to exempt them? Hilkoch ukmua b'shnei psochem. That's why the Rav Huna Bar Schor had to set it up with two passageways as he did, leaving the 19th animal as a potential number 10 for both groups of 9, for either one of those two groups of 9. Continuing in the Gemara, the lishni lei begoren Shemonon zugos zugos. Why not explain the source that said Hashar Pturin is where he counted them in pairs? So if you have 19 animals and each two animals you call one, so it's by the time you get to 9, what has happened? You get to 9, really 18 animals emerged. The 19th animal you will call 10. And that will exempt all of them. Once again, this setup will enable us to set up the case with one passageway, and not as Rav Huna Bar Schora set it up, with two passageways. So the Gemara answers, you know why he didn't set it up like this? Kosovar, because Rav Huna Bar Schor is of the opinion, Asiri leminyan behemos hu kadosh. It doesn't matter that you were counting them, pairs of two, you were counting them 1, 2, 3, etc. Because he's of the opinion that the 10th, in terms of animal number, becomes kadosh. And practically speaking, when he reached 5 in his counting of pairs, if that's what he was doing, when he counted 5, there was the 10th animal came out, because he was counting them. He was counting 1, 2, 3, but each time he mentioned a number, 2 were emerging. So as a result of the 10th one coming out already when he mentioned 5, what would be there to exempt the rest of the animals? There would be no means of exempting the rest of the animals. And yet, the source said, Hashar Pturin. So we can't use this explanation either. So at the end of the day, in order to explain the Tanaic source that said Hashar Pturin, which we dashed on the line, Rav Huna Bar Schora had to explain it using the Minyan Haroi explanation, which we accomplished by setting it up with two passageways. Now, before going to read the final line of our sugya, when we brought in the source of Hashar Pturin, it should be pointed out that it was brought on the heels of a source that was used to support Rava's final teaching that we had seen on focusing on the diamond at the bottom of Nun Tes Amid Beis. So we had, just to review the sequence of events, Rava had a teaching on the bottom of Nun Tes Amid Beis. We brought a Tanaic source to support Rava's teaching. And then we raised a difficulty from another Tanaic source. Rav Huna Bar Shora came to save the day using another teaching of Rava, namely the teaching of Minyan Haroi, in order to explain or to resolve these two sources. Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchok, Zakai Ime de Rav Huna Bar Shora. Rav Huna Bar Shora's mother was meritorious in having a son like this, like Rav Huna. The Shani Le Rava Shmaitza Berigla Kishmaitzei, that Rav Huna Bar Shora answered for Rava using on this Rigla was the Shabbos before the holiday, using Rava's own teaching, as we just explained. In other words, Rav Huna Bar Shora helped Rava's one teaching by explaining things through another teaching of Rava himself. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.